Procter & Gamble put 400 products in the marketplace doing this in the last 4 years and created $10 billion worth of new top-line sales. Now, I don't know if you know how big that is, but in the business world, having a new model of innovation is like, it's almost like a gold rush. A lot of companies want to do exactly what Procter has done, and we have companies all over the place trying to adopt this. Now, I left Procter a year ago and created a company to bring these methods to other companies. While I was at Procter, I created a lot of the software infrastructure to do this. Let's call that sort of Web 1.0, or really not even web. I mean, it was basically, emailing and doing a lot of procedures by hand with a lot of intermediate sort of software components, but a fair amount of what I call handwork, okay, in the process. And we have now conceptualized what I would call a Web 2.0 application, whereby we would put a product that we're just as a placeholder calling it InnoForce. That's a bit of a play on Salesforce.com. But for the purposes of this discussion, think of it as taking Salesforce.com into the innovation space. So it's InnoForce.com. And we would provide a Web 2.0 application for all kinds of R&D operations worldwide to link up to their external innovator populations in the way that Procter did. We have absolutely huge market interest in this. Just last week, here at our offices in our studios in Cincinnati, we had General Mills here, and we had Philips, big lighting company. The week before, we had John Deere, and we had Honeywell. Next week, we're with Johnson & Johnson. And so this is a big idea. We are in the process. We have conceptualized this platform. It's going to be a really big deal. And, I've been the market maker for this. I've had the cover of all kinds of magazines and stuff like that, and books, and, there's a lot of press. You can go to my website. I was on CNBC talking about some of this. So we think this is a huge area, and we're hopeful that your platform, since it's pretty similar, you're doing CRM. We call it IRM. You're doing customer relationship management. We want to do innovator relationship management, so we think you guys have a platform that would allow us to sit on and potentially launch this in the marketplace. So that's the So that's the big picture. Okay. Is there any questions before we go on and I take you into some more detail?
Not on my side, Alex. It's fairly straightforward as far as you're building out applications to use in the market to share, as opposed to using things as a closed innovation. You're doing open innovation.
Right.
If I'm getting you correctly, it's kind of different from open source in that you're licensing it out as opposed to providing your code. You're just providing licenses to whichever applications you build.
No, we're creating a product like a Lay Regenerous, let's just say a skin treatment product, and we will go to the world and we will say to the world, we're looking for ways to reduce wrinkles, which we describe in a technical brief, and then we will have to find, let's say, 12, 15,000 people in the world to send the brief to. And these people, we would find them by looking at the patent literature, published literature in the marketplace on who's doing what. We might have a list of institutions like a skin research institute in France or whatever, and have a directory. We will either build on the fly a directory of email addresses or have a qualified directory that we maintain, InnoForce maintains, or our client, let's just say it's Procter & Gamble, Procter & Gamble may have their favorite list of 10,000 names. But what we have to do is assemble briefs, go to the directory, pull out the high probability connection names, send the brief out, and hopefully someone comes back and says, look, we have five proteins that we've identified that reduce wrinkles, and we'd like to work with Procter & Gamble to put that in your Olay product and then launch that in the marketplace. Procter & Gamble would either buy that technology component from them or license it, formulate it into the product, launch it in the marketplace. And this, by the way, is exactly what was done on Olay Regeneris with an institute that we knocked on their door through the internet called Sederma. So it's a combination of finding people to collaborate with that have something that you could put in the market. So it's open source in the sense that we're opening up the innovation connections and allowing the world to come knocking on our door to say, hey, I can have a component that could go in this product to make you guys successful. Does that help?
Yeah, so it's more of a farming tool rather than an actual shared application.
You're gonna have to leave the software world for a minute. This is the world of chemistry, physical products. You know, there is no shared application. There are bottles of shampoo and boxes of soap powder, and boxes of cornflakes, and John Deere tractors and products. Where you're looking for someone to come in and say, I have a technology or an idea that can make your airplane, your shampoo, or whatever better.
I see where you're going with the question, Alex, and you're in the right ballpark with it. In terms of actually the model of the platform, there is interest to have what we've been calling a black boxed type of system, which would be hosted, but as Salesforce.com has been able to achieve with its security for the organizations that are on its platform, those people are completely cornered in their own area. Whereas there might also be a second option where other folks that are out there and innovators and wanting to be in a global community of innovators could also then join in and be a part of this open innovation movement, if you will, on a separate hosted platform. So you could have black boxed types of systems, which would be Procter & Gamble specific or Johnson & Johnson specific. But then there's all sorts of small businesses out there that...
No, it just needs to be... It's the same platform for everyone. It just needs to be somewhat configured for the look and feel for a P&G versus a J&J.
Right. The branding is in those people's minds is, you know, what makes it feel like it's boxed or black boxed.
Yeah.
So
yeah. Well, let's get into
my reasoning for going back to the software side is I don't want to get too far into the details until we get a bigger picture. And for me, yes, obviously, it is going to be very much focusing from a software side. So I just wanted to get a sense of, you know, what the end goal and what my understanding of open innovation was, which seems to be slightly off.
It's similar. I mean, it's similar. The idea is you open up the system for other people to participate, right? That's what open means.
Yeah.
And in software, you're talking open source. And in open innovation, you're talking about opening up your participation to people outside the four walls of the company to come in and bring, you know, a technical solution and be rewarded for that. So it's open in that, the open is in that sense. They're still open, but, you know, they have that characteristic in common. Let's get into the presentation, and then hopefully this will clarify it some more. So what we're trying to do is we're trying to do what I would call innovation on demand. And as I said, what Salesforce is to the CRM area, we want Innoforce to be to innovation networks. This, I think, is a really big idea, by the way, guys. If you're CEO was on the line right now, he would be going through the ceiling, because this is going to make a huge splash in the marketplace. It really is. You guys are not in this space, but believe me, every company out there probably would value this even higher than your Salesforce application. I'll tell you why. It's the number one agenda item for corporations right now across the board is innovation. And every CEO right now is trying to figure out what are they going to do to drive top-line growth. So it's a really, really big deal what we're working on. You guys are up there in Toronto and you're not innovation guys, but I can tell you this is a really major, major space. And what you need to do is to validate that. Go and Google this in the press and look at what's going on and out there. It's a major opportunity area. What we're trying to do is something where we have a number of clients that have basically standalone applications, and what they're doing right now is sort of doing this piecemeal themselves. But what we like is the basic intuitive interface that you all have. We want to do a Web 2.0 application. Our clients want that. Basically, what they want is this innovation networking software to be on the web so they don't have to put it in-house. And it helps to syndicate the cost and to quickly, you know, do scalability on upgrades and things like that. When I was at Procter, for example, in total, I spent $37 million on a whole variety of infrastructure to be able to do this. Now, a lot of it is non-software, by the way. Probably about $1.5 million of that was software. But, you know, in the end, a company like Procter or General Mills or Boeing or any of these, they really don't want to be doing this in-house. They want to be able to have more of a Web 2.0 type application that's very intuitive and easy to use. This platform is going to, again, is driven around top-line growth. It's going to provide the ability to manage three major things. External innovation networks. This would be a big company like Boeing, for example, has probably 2,000 suppliers. A company like Procter, who is less of a major ecosystem than a Boeing, nonetheless probably has 200 or 300 suppliers. So one of the things that you want to do is to be able to manage not only the external innovation network people that you've identified at institutes and entrepreneurs around the world, but also supplier organization. And you also want to manage your internal communities where you could take a brief, you know, I want to be able to bake a pizza, for example. If you're at Kraft, right now they're trying to get their pizza baking time down from 20 minutes to 10 minutes. Turns out that they've got 4,000 R&D people up there. Wouldn't it be nice if we could state the problem, communicate to even all of our internal people our innovation challenges and get them involved in solving the problem? So you want to do that internally as well as externally, and you also want to do that with the innovation networks that you already have in place, like your supplier networks, because that's highly inefficient as well. It's going to be a hosted application. I'll let you cover this.
Sure. Yeah. It's basically, this slide is mostly. Whoa. Sorry about that. We Yeah, I'm not sure why that's feeding back.
Okay.
We'll leave that over there. Yeah. But anyways, what we're seeing here is the. One of the reasons that we think Salesforce.com is such a good fit is because you guys already have the scalability built in with a hosted system. So we don't have to look at an infrastructure that would be able to provide the type of accessibility that your platform already does inherently with the years that you already have of experience in actually a hosted platform as a service space. What's really exciting is your whole application platform that you've brought to market as well, and we've been in discussions with IBM as well in regards to this, And you know, even IBM right now, you'll see their commercials right now about innovation and everything that they're doing. The team that we've been speaking to about developing this, I think, is very capable of doing this. And the reason that we've been dealing with them in this level is because we want to make sure that we're leveraging the technology that we know is there, so that we can make it far better, far cheaper, not only for our community of users, but also for our whole drive in the first place. So, you know, if we integrated with Salesforce.com and on your Force.com platform, we believe that it would save our time to market, so that we don't have to spend a huge amount of time developing infrastructure, a huge amount of time developing a new platform, and then going through the quality assurance to make sure that what that platform does deliver is on top of its game. So, you know, we think that the solutions that can be brought to market with the global availability that we'd really require would make for a great fit with InnoForce, and that's really, or with Force.com, but that's really what this slide is saying. So, you know, we're looking for a one-stop shop for our clients, a one-stop shop for innovation shopping, for innovation innovator relationship management. So that's what that was basically referring to.
And then this next slide, guys, talks about some of the features. So you've got to build connection making engine. So for example, if I write a brief that says I want to reduce pizza baking time from 20 minutes to 10 minutes, in order to connect to people on the outside, I need to have a taxonomy that breaks up that brief into a lot of different words where I might be able to find solutions. So I may, rather than just say baking, I may also say, you know, frying, you know, accelerating the frying of dough. So I may look for frying as a potential area to find a solution rather than just baking. So I've got to create taxonomies. I've got to manage the conversations and put in the hands of the people that I'm contacting on the outside. At the right point, I need to be able to push a button, send to them an NDA. They need to send it back, so I need to manage those conversations. I need analytic tracking, you know, who am I contacting, what's been the return on investment. I need to manage my yellow pages of inventors worldwide. It's not much different than managing the database of salespeople in Salesforce.com. I need to be able to track what's coming in, take what's coming in inside a company and produce what I would call a sharper image catalog of ideas that are coming in from the outside that people inside a company can subscribe to and get pushed to their desktop, the leads that are coming in from outside. You know, just a whole variety of managing the full interactions with all of these people that are on the outside. We plan to create the platform for the industry. We're in the process of recruiting 10 alpha clients right now, people like P&G, Boeing, Kraft, etc. These are probably going to be our alpha customers. We've worked on the design for about a year. We've done some data modeling and design work. We have, as Benson talked, we are interviewing, basically trying to qualify who is the right software partner to do this with. And so we're really aggressively pursuing this right now. We have venture capital involved in this. We have a marketing, sales and marketing organization. So this is pretty serious. This is not some pipe dream kind of thing that, you know, we're sitting here doing. We've put a tremendous amount of work in this and have had really top executives from our alpha customers here. This is just some, I'm going through just some standard sort of definition things on how to manage innovator ecosystems and so on. some, you know, design work we've done, various communication elements and so on, what we mean from a governance standpoint, the importance of analytics. And it's a lot like, I'm sure, the kinds of things that you've done in Salesforce. I'm not a Salesforce user, by the way. I do need to do that in my own business, but I think I know enough about it, you know, looked at it. But I think there's just so many similarities here. This is just an example of a brief. I talked about the fact that this is driven with briefs and then how these get put together.
Drew, did you have a question?
No.
Okay.
This is a key part of the process, of course. There's a lot to this that we're not showing you, but we're giving you a feel for sort of the workflow elements, the various people who play a role in this in a company, in terms of a role called an innovation entrepreneur, portal managers, communication managers, external innovators, some of the key workflow for these actors in the system. And I guess you don't have the data modeling.
Yeah, it's on the next. There's some of the actors right
some,
there.
Some of the actors are here.
Yeah. This is just a simple data flow diagram of, you know, from a very, very high level of, you know, what types of actors, system actors we would actually have. You know, our innovation entrepreneurs, as Larry ended up mentioning, those are the folks that really are putting out for those individual companies those technology briefs, for example. You know, they're creating a problem statement, as it says here on this slide. So you've got your innovation entrepreneur who's really doing a lot of the workflow, as also Larry indicated. They're the ones that are putting these briefs together, creating their problem statement, for example. And this is a powerful set, even though it's so simple at this level. Just actually having the methodology and applying this methodology really drives to a huge extent the ability to then isolate the issues that you have and then return on those issues with solutions that are really viable. So you're not wasting time dealing with people that really don't, in the end, have the solutions that are fitting for the problem that you have. So, you know, there are all sorts of examples that Larry can give about how this has been working and brought to market with all these different products with Procter & Gamble as an example. But,
and other companies.
And other companies as well, you're right, of course. So, you know, who can really do this? You know, we've been discussing this with IBM and their high performance on demand team. They're extremely interested in this as well, and this seems to fit very well with their whole strategy at this point to drive a lot of the growth in this innovation area. But they don't have the process. You know, we have the process. Microsoft, of course, we could hodge together a whole infrastructure and IBM Team Services solution with light workflow and, you know, get other third-party software with a very powerful search engine so that we can make sure that, as Larry was discussing those taxonomies, you know, getting the vocabulary appropriate and fitting so that when you're performing a search about who could be a potential provider for you, you're not blanket bombing 10,000 individual innovators, which in the end are not going to end up giving you the solution that you want. You need to be highly targeted here. So, you know, Oracle, you know, now they've got BEA, all sorts of other people. We could do other solutions as well. So, you know, that's basically where we're coming from.
So, you know, obviously there's, you know, a lot of, I guess what we're saying here is, I mean, we're trying to find the right partner right now. I don't know whether it's IBM or Microsoft. We've had some Indian firms contact us who claim, you know, they can do it and all this kind of stuff. But we're at a really critical juncture point where we have, you know, I've spent two or three, four, probably more like 5 years figuring this area out. Huge number of companies are trying to adopt this. They're all ready for this next generation stuff. And we have conceptualized the next big thing, the Web 2.0 application. We have alpha partners. We have money. we're now trying to find the right software partner, and we're simply coming to you guys at a critical juncture point. We're actually under a lot of time pressure right now because the VC, our VC wants to really move quickly on this. And I actually pulled the plug, or actually stopped the some of the software discussions I had going on with others. Not stopped it, but, you know, slowed it down because I wanted to come back based upon some of the press publicity that I saw. I'd seen that you guys were interested in doing, leveraging your platform. So I went to Benson and said, hey, you know, look, we really owe it to ourselves to find out what the Salesforce folks can do. And so that's where we are.
Absolutely. When you mentioned time pressures, when were you ultimately trying to get something in place here?
Well, we're trying to get something in place by June. But, you know, but we have a money issue where we're trying to figure out what the software side implementation costs are. So we're in the middle of negotiations and a money round where, you know, I'm getting a lot of pressure to say, okay, what's the software going to cost us? What's it going to cost us to do this? We've been working on various deal scenarios where, you know, we would pay the provider. We've worked on various deal scenarios where the provider gets just paid and or gets a royalty, some sort of equity and royalty. We've worked all kinds of deals, for example, in terms of how to reward the software provider. So we're in various rounds of those kinds of discussions. So the major pressure point for me is coming to terms with who the software provider is going to be. I have absolutely no doubt that IBM could do this. Pick your favorite Indian organization, they could do this. You know, this is not rocket science that we're doing here. There are some future rocket science pieces, of course, as you try to find, you know, needles in a haystack with search engines and things like that, trying to find somebody's name in the world that can solve an important technology challenge for you. But, you know, coming out of the blocks here, we don't have to put the, you know, the high-end power searching capability in place, for example. So, you know, I'd like to just get a read from you all now on what you could do and whether you see this as a match for Salesforce or not. Or we're prepared to answer any more questions so that you can be able to do that.
I like to kind of bring things down to a bit of a common denominator before we crash out, but essentially it's a form of social networking, so bringing the business web to things like, you know, MySpace, Facebook.
It is not that.
Okay, so there's no social networking?
Well, there could be, but it's largely taking a here's the basic process. You take a technology brief that needs to be written. You find names in the world. I don't do it through a social network. I find names. I deliver to the innovator's desktop 10,000 names. In those 10,000 names, we find a way to rank order them. The names will come from either a proprietary database of names that a company like, let's say Kraft, we're working on pizza. Kraft may have 5,000 names of people in the dough processing industry worldwide. InnoForce may have 5,000 names that it can download for the purposes of Kraft. And Kraft could also say, I have a very specialized aspect of this problem, which is creating capillaries through monostructures. In other words, chimneys through dough. And so I want to go find people who know about creating capillary structures in monomasses. And I may deliver 500 names. So I have a list now of 10,500 names. And I have to then put together almost like a direct mail campaign, but it's over the web. And internally at Kraft, because we're just not going to let our innovators send this kind of information out to the world, because, you know, it is They could be revealing confidential information. It needs an internal review. So the person who puts this together from their desktop goes to the purchasing organization, their legal organization, and says, here's my brief. Do I have approval to send it to 10,500 people? Once the purchases and legal organization says yes, push the button, a email has to dribble out to these 10,500 people. The person has to open it. They read it, and then they come back, and if they respond, they have to go through the Kraft Innovation Portal. It does not come back directly to this person, because when it's coming back to Kraft, the person has to say to us that they're supplying this on a non-confidential basis. Otherwise, they can contaminate our intellectual property. So we have to create portals on the Kraft website where the person says, I'm supplying this to you free and clear, it's non-confidential, you're free to do with it as you wish, but here's my proposal. Finally, it gets back to the person who originated it and sees the response. That person sees the response, either says, thank you, I love it, let's go to the next stage, let's sign a two-way confidential brief, two-way NDA, or no thank you, I don't need it, please look for future ones with us. And then we kick off, if they do say thank you, let's sign a two-way, then we get involved in the various discussions of email tracking and everything to a deal gets done and everything. So that's sort of like the whole cycle there.
Yeah. And just to follow up on your question about the Web 2.0 features, the Facebook and the rest, that's really a non-essential piece of this.
It could be later.
And that's, if we look at this from a version standpoint, just think about the idea of dealing with your innovation ecosystems. You've got folks that have provided solutions for you in the past. You might, for example, as a non-essential requirement later on down the road, be able to give a 4-star rating to the solution that was provided, or give feedback related to that individual. So, what's appealing?
These are nice add-ons.
Yeah.
The money step, the key money step, is the core of what I just described. If we get this to work, then we could add community features and more blogs and wiki kinds of things and stuff like that. But that will come in the future. But if we can't deliver value in this important money step, this design, those are not going to be helpful to us.
Okay. All right. So the idea being that you're going to come out with a particular problem or issue and do some searching through proprietary databases that you have access to, track that information, within obviously in our case Salesforce, and then the work starts with how do we take that information and say for Kraft, put that, for lack of a better term, a landing page from a marketing perspective or a portal onto Kraft's website?
Well, not necessarily. Kraft would actually be on their mini portlet, if you will. So
we would sell to Kraft a innovation portal page,
which would be hosted by Salesforce.com with this model that we would be proposing today, for example.
So P&G would have one. Everybody has to have their own innovation page.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure that you weren't going to be hosting on each individual company page.
Right. No. At this point, we're not. We've discussed that option with other folks. Because there is a lot of interest in actually owning the technology and owning internalizing the solution. But a lot of what drives the value here is a hosted platform as a service, and that's really what's driving, I think, a lot of the discussions with with most of the folks that we're looking at doing this with, if that makes sense.
So, the basic idea of opening up a portal for each one of these campaigns that can work,
it's not a portal for each. No, excuse me, it's not a portal for each campaign.
Okay.
No, it's not. There would be thousands and thousands of campaigns. What it is is... I'm sorry.
Sorry. You were just saying that you're going to have, you know, it could be Kraft, could be Procter & Gamble, could be John Deere, could be any one of the thousand, but each one of those has to have a portal customized for them.
And it would be a template, and there would only be one portal per company.
So there could be thousands of portals.
Well,
correct.
No, there could, if we have thousands, if we're fortunate enough to have thousands of companies, that would be great. But it would only be one per company. I mean, we're saying in 5 years, I mean, we're targeting about 500 companies to be on this. So there would be 500 pages that that it would come into, yeah.
Okay.
But not one for every brief.
Yeah, I think there was...
I'm just saying one for every company, and it has whatever the workflow that happens in the background.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, it's just a window into that company, right?
I think what happened was there was a miscommunication of the word campaign. A campaign in our mind is based around a brief. You know, you're looking for a technology solution which kicks off the campaign of looking for that solution. So I think that that's where the...
And so a company like Procter might have 500 campaigns in a year.
Right. Right.
But they all run through the same portal.
Exactly.
Yeah, they knock on the door through the same portal.
Yeah. It goes through their individual, perhaps it's a proprietary, a proprietary innovation ecosystem, if you will, where you've got these solutions providers that are signed up with Procter & Gamble's individual innovation campaign. So if you take the Walmart approach to their whole supply chain, but it's the innovation supply chain. You know, you've got all of your suppliers that could provide you with all of these different solutions to what you're trying to do with your individual campaign. This would then connect up with all of those people that would be on board with this, or even perhaps external networks to Procter & Gamble, for example, that they haven't identified yet, which is a potential place where we could generate additional revenue as well, because they could then get access to additional innovators for their issues if they couldn't find those solutions from their own searches or the searches that they'd already begun. If that makes sense.
Yep. So once we agree that, I mean, obviously the strength in Salesforce is twofold. First of all, it is obviously on demand. Secondly, we have the ability to scale to some pretty massive proportions. The development side is absolutely completely open. So if you are looking to develop something that's very particular to, you know, a type of company, as a template that you develop of a portal, and yeah, you can, you know, create whatever you need to create. Our strength is in that relationship management information on the Salesforce side. So once it's in there, what do you do with that? How do you rank it? All those little add-ons you were talking about before, there's certainly ways of getting around it. The mass marketing and the mass email campaigns, those are things that, you know, we can certainly talk about. It's you know, we put some restrictions on it, but we have partners that go beyond that. So I mean, the basic foundation is there. My questions are going to be more around the, you know, the, like I said, the amount of portals, the kind of maintenance that's going to be coming to maintain those. You know, if you do have 500 different portals, you know, who's creating them and who's running them? I suppose that's something that you're considering. So
why isn't that just downloaded into each of the companies? Every one of these companies have their own portals.
Well, that's because that would require a total different infrastructure, and
well,
so
maybe we don't do that. Maybe we have a different partner that delivers the portal templates within a company.
It's, you know, the whole value of it is having the hosted portal as a service. So it's outside of the infrastructure of the IT infrastructure, which, you know, in so many companies drives the costs up. And so that's basically why.
Andrew, why don't we step back for a minute and tell us more about your strategic intent and see if this is whether we're even aligned on having common potential objectives here. I just have the impression that you guys are looking for this kind of thing, and that's why we called you. Is that true, or what's going on?
This is pretty unique. I've never come across a customer that has been looking for this. As far as from a product development side, that's out of San Francisco, and when you ask if we're looking for this, I'm not too sure, but it definitely sounds interesting. It's something that would be a very good strategic win for us.
Well, what I'm trying to do is, look, just to be straight up, I don't have a lot of time to mess around working my way up through, you know, I'm working with the absolute top of the IBM organization. I mean, the very top. If you guys want to look at this, I'm certainly open, and I know that you could do it. But we would have to cut to the chase pretty quickly here to have a discussion with some pretty high-level people. I absolutely think that if your senior execs hear this, they're going to get very excited. And once you understood the size of this, you just don't happen to be in the space to know what's going on. But believe me, this is a big area. So I guess the major question is, how can we get to the right kind of conversation with the right people about whether Salesforce is interested in an opportunity like this with us?
Well, on my side here, the goal of today is just to have a better understanding, because going into this, I wasn't too sure of exactly what you were posing.
Uh-huh.
And it's more of a technical fit. Are the things that you're looking to achieve capable within our application? And that's why I brought Alex on the call. Once we digest the information from today's call, we'll have a little quick discussion afterwards, see where we're a good fit. Maybe there's potential workarounds, all those type of things here. And then I would definitely engage others that could definitely assist us in this whole process.
Okay. All right. So what is the next step? What do we need to do to get to the right person?
Okay.
Who is the right person? Do you have a head of new business development, a senior vice president,
I'm going to work with my VP of sales. He definitely has contacts in San Francisco, our head office here.
Yeah.
Let's see what I can do.
Can you get him on the line now?
I cannot.
Okay.
What we'll have to do is I'll have to reach back out to you to coordinate something on our end here.
Well, how long is that going to take?
Yeah, I'm not too sure. I'm going to try to get this done this week, though.
Well, today's Monday, and I got a ticking clock, so I'm actually working next week I'm doing a lot of deal work next week on this, so.
Okay. Let me work on it on my side here and make sure that we get the proper resources in here.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm confident that once you speak with your VP of sales and I feel very confident that what we presented to you today is extremely innovative. I've been on board with this for the past 6 months, and when I first came in, I was unsure about, you know, this, because I'd never been in this space before. So it was really enlightening to see what the potential was. But you know, really, the people that are on board with this, every client that Larry has come in here is just unbelievably excited about making this a possibility. So I really, you know, we think that within the next 18 months, we're talking about a $300 million business, if this is done right.
Right.
Okay, so what's the immediate next steps? What will you do, Andrew, and on what timing? Can we schedule a conference call?
Yeah, let me, again, I haven't reached out to anybody as of yet. As soon as I get more word, I'll definitely. Is the point of contact going through yourself, Larry, or?
Well, I would say send an email to both Benson and I. I'm in meetings all week, but I would like to have a conference call with your VP of sales, and then I'm hoping that he could then set me up with either someone higher, your CEO, or someone like that fairly quickly.
Okay, I'll see what I can do on my side here.
Okay.
Let me take away the information that you presented today and discuss Alex here.
And I think the top line is, look, you know, these guys, we have a senior management team here that's plugged into the top managements of about 150 Fortune 500 companies, everybody from Boeing to Procter to Kraft to John Deere to General Mills to Philips to you name them, they've been here, 3M, GM, Daimler, all of these companies. So this is no bullshit, this is real. Our management team is a top management team. I'm not a kid. I've run a huge business, and we have money behind us, and we've got the idea. So we're not some kids sitting here in Cincinnati with an idea. So you know,
not a problem.
All right. Well, I just want to make sure that you're clear on that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I know there's a lot of crap that floats around in the industry. I mean, and we've been working with the top managements, very top managements of some other companies. So if you look at, I mean, the basic proposition is we could take the Salesforce platform and move it into the Innoforce area. That's basically it. It would be like if you were already in Innoforce and I was the guy coming and knocking on your door saying, I've got this new idea. You guys are in the innovation space. You don't know anything about this, but I'm going to call it Salesforce.com. This is like that, okay? But the shoe is on the other foot here. And so you got to communicate, you know, that this is a major area because you guys are not thinking in this space, and people won't realize how big this is.
Okay.
So
no, it definitely appreciate the scale and scope and the vision that you have. Let me work on my side here.
Okay, work on your side. I am under a lot of time issues. Just because we've worked so long on this, and it dawned on us really about, I guess, 2 or 3 weeks ago, based upon some press things that I read, that you guys could potentially do this.
No, Andrew, I just wanted to thank you both for joining us today, too. I know that this has been a roundabout that's been, you know, worthwhile. I hope from your perspective you'll see the scope of this as well, and I look forward to, you know, hearing from you as soon as possible. And again, feel free to call me as soon as you have any additional information, and I can work with Larry to get us with the next step. I think the next step from our perspective is to really get with the, you know, new business people that could help us get this. You know, I think your platform.
We need to get to the senior person who says,
yeah,
this is part of where we want to. This is the kind of thing we're interested in, or we're not.
Yeah.
We don't need to get to any more intermediary kind of people. We got to get to some senior people who can give us a judgment as to, yeah, this is exciting and this would be something we really want to consider.
It really seems like it would work, I think, with that sales.
Okay. Do you have my email, Andrew?
You know what? Give that to me right now.
So it's like mine is just larry@4inno.com. The numeral 4, larry@4inno.com.
Okay, inno.com. Perfect.
Yeah.
Dr. Email address here.
Yeah. And if you need a bio on me or something like that, we can send that. I also have a CNBC interview related to this that we could send you.
Yeah, I think I've seen it on your website.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah, it's as clunky as our website is, which I have to apologize. We threw that up fast. But under the news section is the Maria Bartiromo interview. But, you know, if you're talking to someone within Salesforce, they'll probably say, well, what is this and who is this guy? I can send you a bio and you can send them to that link, or I can email that to you.
Yeah, you know what, can you send that just in advance anyway, just so I have it?
Yeah.
And my email address is just Andrew, AndrewVlee@Salesforce.com.
And how big a file can you receive, Andrew?
Yeah, you know what, I'm not positive. If you have a link, probably
be better for me.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Well, right. Thanks again. We appreciate your time.
Thank you.
That's the one that...
Oh, that's the one we just did. Mm-hmm.
Well, I think we made it pretty clear what our positioning was, so, you know. And it's hard not to see the value in it, and I do think that they're really... They're so close to being in this space. They just need... They need InnoForce. That's really what they need to be there. And then they can drive their, they could double their sales. And if they're, okay. Where'd you get their, the 490 in sales?
It's right in your annual report.
Yeah.
So how do I send them a link? Let me just say.
Just go ahead and send it as an email.
Huh?
We'll just send it as an email, I'm
Andrew
sure.
Andrew.Lee.
Mm-hmm. It's not actually dot, it's just Andrew Lee.
Oh, here, I have Andrew.Lee.
Yeah, that's actually incorrect. That's the one.
Wow, I don't know, I have two of them.
It's my fault. I sent the meeting request from your computer. And the bio, I could also compress to if it needs to be. Press if it isn't already. I think that we already did one.
Yeah, let's see.
To Moran.
Yeah, the Maria. Okay, so what do I want to attach? Let's see my bio. Press.
That's fine with 4 megs, that's fine.
It used to be 360 megabytes.
I can compress it down pretty easily.
Acceptable. All right, so now we find the videos.
Well, they've already got the links to the videos on from the website,
yeah,
so.
Yeah, let me see if I can send them. I'd rather send them if we can.
Okay. The videos will be hard to send with
well,
decent resolution.
Can we get the one that's actually posted? Is there a way that we could actually compress that?
It's pretty much compressed
and
to the point. If it gets any bigger,
yeah.
The problem with it, or if it gets compressed any more, then yeah. You're going to lose quality.
Well, I'm trying to think, what is actually being downloaded when it streams? How big is that?
It's, I think, 256 megabytes or something like that.
But why can't we show that?
Well, I would just give a link to it. That's
what yeah, but what there are there are times when I don't want to send people to the website. Is what I'm saying. I don't want to send them to the website.
You can't. You're not going to be able to get it. You're not going to be able to get under 10 megabytes.
Okay.
I mean, a video you won't be able to get. I mean, even the podcasts are 15 megs. Or no, they're under 10 now. You could do a podcast. You could do one of the Wharton podcasts.
No, I don't want to do that.
You can give it, actually, a better way to do it is just to send them the link. So that you don't even have to do that
okay.
Visit the website.
Yeah, how do I do that?
This is a good thing for you to know.
Thank you.